Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5 and just keep them open there for a moment, would you? And we'll get to Luke chapter 5 in a moment. As if the world needed another problem. And dominating the news for the last several days, a couple of weeks and several days, has been the pirates off the coast of Somalia. And we know all the story. I'm not going to reiterate the news of that plot that they had and how they rescued the captain of that particular ship. But when you take a look and see the piracy, as if the world needed another issue, another problem, and now we've got these particular people off Somalia and now are going after these ships where millions of dollars in hijacked revenue, ransom, taking people hostages. And it's another crisis, just another issue that we're looking at. They noticed that the travel lines, something like 200,000 ships pass through that passageway in a year. It's almost like they saw the narrow part of this place and found a place of vulnerability and begin to take hostage people on these ships. And like I said, millions of dollars. 90% of the world's food that is delivered to nations around the world goes by these ship lines. This is how food is transported. 90% of foods that are delivered to nations that need it, other than, you know, there's so many other things that are delivered through these ship lines. But this is one of the things, 90%. And so here we have this area. I'm not saying it all goes through this area of the food that is going to all the different nations, but that's how it's delivered. And so we have this very narrow causeway, which is, you know, for us it's pretty big, but to that area, as so many ships are passing, it becomes a place of vulnerability. Getting to the news, this piracy that is taking place, dominating the news, and now there's going to be new efforts to try and combat this. And give it 6 months, folks, and we're going to have another issue somewhere else. There'll be another problem, another issue. The Bible says that these are the birth pangs of the last days. We are in difficult times. We are in horrific times. And this is just compounding to the problems of the world today as we know them. Now, you've got to understand that as these things hit the news waves and the newspapers carry this problem of Somalia, and it's just a major problem, I sometimes begin to think, you know, that really the hijacking and what they're doing over there is a major problem. But the hijacking that the devil did in the Garden of Eden is greater. There he hijacked the whole world through Adam and Eve. I wish that the newspapers would splash right across the front pages, hijacking in Eden instead of Aden. Then we'll be on target. Then we'll begin to understand that the heist that was taken place in the Garden of Eden is so great, where the world was taken into captivity, the devil taking a look at, I can just see what happened. As these pirates in our day saw the ship lanes, 200,000 ships passing these lanes in a given year, it's pretty easy to begin to find those places of vulnerability. And I can just imagine Satan in the Garden of Eden seeing the path that Adam and Eve were taking along this route to go and meet with God, found that place of vulnerability. And then through the lies that he perpetrated to them and believed, took them hostage And from that time onwards, generation after generation, men and women are held captive by the enemy. In fact, 2 Timothy says this, Paul writing to Timothy, he says in one part in chapter 2, he says to them, he says that, talking about the gospel, hoping that God, peradventure, that God would grant people repentance as they have been blinded by the works of the enemy. And Paul, writing to Timothy, says that he peradventures that God would give them repentance so that they could be recovered from the snare of the devil who takes them captive by his will. We heard a testimony tonight of a single mom raises her son in the house of God and then is now taken captive. Folks, people go do drugs. They get involved in gangs. They do things that they don't want to do. It's almost like the devil's got a ring in the nose of mankind, and things that you don't want to do, you find yourself doing because he just tags you along because he's got you held captive. It's the greatest heist that the world has ever known. As he came into that Garden of Eden and took from them that privilege of being in the presence of God, robbed them, held them captive. That men and women today who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior are still captive to the power of the enemy. And what he says goes. Oh, you might have some form of resistance to some things here and there. But in actuality, we sin because we're sinners. That's the bottom line. He took this world captive and he controls all of mankind. Until God's rescue plan. And I'm not talking about Navy SEALs, folks, with a gun. We're talking about the Son of God. God's eternal plan to rescue mankind from the grip and the snare of being held hostage by Satan himself. A plan so daring. A plan that God would send his Son from the glories of heaven into this world. A plan that not even the devil could comprehend the magnitude of what Jesus Christ would do for all of mankind. A daring plan from God to set his people free. I want to talk about that tonight. You see, God has set eternity in the heart of man. It's there. You can fill it with anything you want. You can try to fill this longing for eternity with money. You can try to do it with pride, you can do it with ego, you can do it with whatever you want. But there's no way that you can fill the void in your heart until God fills it with his Spirit. Yes. Eternity is in the heart of man. Now, let me take you real quick to Luke chapter 5. Let's fast forward from the Garden of Eden and go into Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 is a marvelous story. Jesus standing on the shores of Galilee, and there's a great crowd of people gathered around, and he's getting pressed more and more towards the water until he sees two boats, and then he says, the fishermen were washing their nets, and so he says to one of the fishermen, almost like you can hear the words, you can read it for yourself, but he says, listen, put me in the boat and let's go out a little bit so I can speak to the people. So he gets in this boat, and the crowd is pressed on to the beach, and he begins to teach them. After he teaches them for a short period of time, he says to the owner of the boat, which is Simon Peter, he says, now let's push out into the deep. Let's go a little deeper into the Sea of Galilee. And when we get out there, I want you to cast your net into the water. And so Simon comes back and says, well, you know, to save you the trouble, we've been there all night and we haven't caught anything. But at your word, because you tell me to do it, I will cast the net on into the water. So I just want to get you a picture of what is taking place now as we fast forward from the Garden of Eden to Jesus, God's plan, and he begins to make a revelation to these people that are going to become his disciples. And so they cast the net in, and sure enough, as they begin to bring it in, this thing is loaded with fish, so much so that Peter calls out to James and John, bring your boat over. There were two boats together, and help us get this. And so much fish was in the boats that they began to sink. That's got to be a lot of fish, folks. As this boat begins to teeter-totter in the waters and the waves, as it gets loaded with more and more fish, Peter falls to his knees and he says, oh, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He recognizes that he is what kind of a person he is. And then Jesus makes this incredible statement. Now, you've got to understand when we'll get to the statement in verse 10 of Luke chapter 5, verse 10. I want to get to that point now. But it's, you see the fish coming in. Understand that what is taking place as they put the net in and they take these fish out of the sea. They're taking these fish out of an environment of life. Fish live in water. As if you didn't know that. That's where they live. But if you take them out of their environment, you put them into a new environment in which they're going to die. They're going to die. It's going to get take. They'll flip and flop around for a short while, but they're going to die. They cannot live in pure oxygen like we do. They need H2O to survive. And so you understand that there's a change of environment that has taken place. In the Garden of Eden, the environment that those two people were dwelling in was an environment of life. That's where they should be dwelling. God put eternity into the heart of man. When God created man, man was created in an environment to have fellowship with God. That in the cool of the day, man could walk in this garden and go and meet with God. The God who spoke and the heavens were created. This God who just breathed out a word and the sun was in his place and the moon was in his place and the galaxies were in their place. Everything was created by the power of God's word. And then God creates man and he creates him in an environment of life. He was made in God's image. Adam and Eve, united to have fellowship with God, commune with Him, talk with Him. Oh, look at the time. God is coming in a few minutes. Come on, Eve, let's hightail it down to our usual meeting place with God. That's how God made man. That's His environment. If you didn't understand it, that's the environment that God originally made for us. That we could have fellowship with God. And so at that appropriate time in the cool of the evening, they would get up, move from where they were, and take that journey to that place and meet and talk and fellowship with the Spirit of God. See, the heist of Eden, not Aden, but Eden, what the devil did, the lie that he told, that which he perpetrated, that took them captive by his will, took man out of an environment of life. Took him out of that environment. It's like the fish being hauled out of the sea. The moment they hauled out, they're amazed at so many fish. But you've got to understand, all of those fish out of their environment are now an environment of death. They will soon die. And God gave that word to Adam and Eve and said, if you eat of this tree, you come out of the environment of life and you enter into a new environment that is called death. You will die. You will die physically as you will die spiritually. It's a whole different environment, folks. And that's the environment that we find ourselves today. Adam and Eve lost it in the garden. And the environment for the whole human race changed in that moment. We were like that fish out of the sea, into the boat, and death begins to make its mark upon our lives. If you haven't noticed, look in the mirror. You're dying. Once we were young, but now we're old. Age is catching up on us. Now come back to the story. Jesus is in the boat. And as I've mentioned, he's speaking now to his disciples. And he said to Simon, he said in verse 10, "And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, they were amazed. And Jesus said unto Simon," who became Peter later on, "Simon," he said, "fear not." Fear not. Don't be afraid. Because he's on his knees. He's saying, "Depart from me. I'm a wicked man." He's come up against this factor of life called Jesus Christ. And he recognizes that within himself, that he's a sinner. He's a sinful man. And Jesus says to him, "Fear not. Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." Now, that would be great just to leave it at that commission to go out and catch men. I have to just give you what the original says because it won't make sense unless I do. If you go back to what the original language says, it actually, in the Greek, means this. Jesus said, "Fear not, I am going to take you, use your lives, and you are going to catch men," and the Greek says, "alive." In other words, you are going to take my message to those who are in a wrong environment and are dying. But when you speak to them and you tell them about me, you are bringing them back from an environment of death back into an environment of life. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. Anybody who you bring to me will get life. We call it in the real world when we go out fishing, catch and release. You catch a fish, put it back in the water, let it swim again, catch it next year. I've been fishing with Pastor Patrick. He's a great fisherman. He catches more fish than any one of us. We like the fellowship. He likes to fish. He catches these ones. We catch these ones. But we release them. He says, "You put them back in." We put them back. Catch and put them back in. Put them back in life. See, folks, what Jesus was telling his disciples is that there's going to be a message. Oh yeah, the devil took you out of that environment and put you in an environment of death. And he takes you captive at will. Do drugs, they do drugs. Get into alcohol, they get into alcohol. Break up with your wife, they break up with their wives. He takes them by captive, like a bull with a ring in the nose. Takes them anywhere he wants because he took them for ransom. Hijacked the human race. But God's plan was a plan that would take men and put them back into the environment for which they were made, to have fellowship with God. It reminds me of the story of a little boy who a major storm had gone across this part of the coastline. Huge storm. The undercurrents had lifted a lot of starfish and just dumped it onto the side. And so the storm passed, clouds were still overhead, and This following morning, this little boy was walking down the beach, and he was picking up one starfish, tossing it in, picking up, and there's thousands, there's hundreds on the beach, tons of starfish dumped on the beach, picking up one, tossing it in. There's a man walking down the beach, and he's observing this kid picking up a starfish and just flinging it back in the water, tossing this in. And this guy says to him, he says, this man comes up and says, son, you're wasting your time. Look, there's thousands, hundreds of beached starfish. As soon as the clouds depart, the sun comes out, they'll all be dead. Little boy looked at him and said, that's true, sir. I understand that's true. But I want to tell you, for the ones I pick up and put back in, to them, it is life. It's life to the ones that he picks up and puts back in. I want to tell you, we might take a look at a world and see it hell-bound, taken captive. We'll see wars, rumors of wars. We'll see catastrophe after catastrophe. We'll see people die by the thousands. Different wars taking place. But I've got to tell you, that there was a man called Jesus who walked the shores of Galilee and picked up one individual at a time. And to all those people who came into contact with him, came into life. Came in to life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. On the cross, of Calvary, he opened up a way. And this was the plan of God through all the ages. That God would take this life through his body, the church of Jesus Christ. And every person that you introduce to Jesus Christ gets changed. Every single person. That's what he's talking about. I think of the very first person I led to Christ. You know, the devil came and lied to me one time and when I was a new Christian, and he said, is God for real? That's the same lie he told in the garden. Is God for real? And I had to think about this. And there have been times that in my early walk, I would stop and I'd think, is God really real? Is this all real? Is this really happening? Is Christianity, was it just a figment of my imagination that when I got saved and the shackles fell to the ground and the power of drugs were broken in one night? Was that just a figment of my imagination? Was that just my will? Was it just positive thinking? Oh, the devil will come and lie and say, well, you know, this can just be who you are. And it was just, you know, Christianity has become a crutch. But you know what? I was changed. January 1972, I was changed. But I want to tell you something. The devil will lie and say, well, is it really true? Let me tell you about the first person I led to Jesus Christ. A young lady, I was working on the railway, and she came to buy a ticket to get a train ride. And I was talking and witnessing to this person, and he was really arguing, and he was being belligerent, and this young girl was there, and she looked at this young lady and said, I'll come back another time. No. And so she bought the ticket. So the Holy Spirit said to me, go out and just speak to her. So I went out and I apologized. I said, I'm so sorry that you had to come into this argument. And yeah, I couldn't understand. She said, I couldn't understand why he was being so belligerent. So I said, well, your train, it was a late train. When you come back, I'll tell you about Jesus. She said, I'd like that. See, folks, she came back. And I led her to Jesus Christ on the platform, gave her my brand new Bible, and she was changed. When the devil lies to you and says it's only you, you take a look at the next person that comes along that comes to Jesus Christ, and they get changed as well. I want you to ask yourself a question. What about Amy Carmichael? Was she just crazy? Or did God change her life? What about Hudson Taylor? The Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that there's a whole cloud of witnesses. Are we all crazy? What about Hudson Taylor? What about D.L. Moody? What about Billy Sunday? What about the Wesley brothers? What about Martin Luther? How about coming closer to home? What about Nikki Cruz? What about David Wilkerson? These are people whose lives have been changed by the power of Almighty God. And God says that His great plan was to take you out of that environment of death and put you back into an environment of life. Tonight, where are you? Where are you? What environment are you in? You can be in the environment of death and still go into a church and never change. It's only by your introduction to Jesus Christ that makes the change. It's possible for chains to fall to the ground, lives to be completely changed. Where are you tonight? Are you in an environment of death? That if you were to die tonight, do you know where you're headed? To go into an eternity without Jesus Christ is to go to hell, folks. It's to go into a lost eternity without God. This is an opportunity that God says that if you will take this opportunity, as He spoke to Peter and said, Peter, you're going to go speak to people and I'm going to take them out of death and bring them to life. This is your opportunity that God is giving you tonight. Will you accept this moment in your history, in your time, and say, yes, I want to change from this environment and I want to come back into a place that I know that I was originally created for, and that is fellowship with God. Is that what you want tonight? If you're here and you've been listening to this message tonight, and you know in your heart that you're just a churchgoer and you do not know Jesus Christ, I got to tell you, you're like those fish in the boat, flipping. They may look like they have life, but they are headed for death. You might look like you've got life. You might do the right actions, but it's only Jesus Christ who takes you from death unto life. I want to give you that opportunity tonight. Stand with me, would you? Throughout the house, just stand where you are. Don't move other than standing up. I want to give you an invitation tonight. It's your opportunity. Jesus said to Peter, you are going to go and give a message to people and they are going to be introduced to me and I'm going to change them. Tonight, if that is you, you know that you have not made the move to come to Jesus Christ to make that change. I'm going to ask you to unashamedly tonight, don't worry about the person next to you, in front of you, or behind you, but if you know that you are still in this place of death, you that starfish that is beached along the side of the shore, and you need help to get back into that place called life, and you want to make that decision tonight, I want you to slip your hand straight up in the air. Just put it straight up. God sees these hands. Look at them going up. Put your hands straight up, unashamedly. Put your hands straight up in the air. Do not be ashamed of this moment in the history of your life. The devil might have hijacked you, but Jesus is going to take you out of that environment and put you back into life where He created you for. We're going to sing. You can put your hands down. Thank you. We're going to sing a song tonight. And as we sing, the choir is going to be singing, as we sing a chorus. If God has put this into your heart, unashamedly, we're not going to try to coerce you to an altar. We're not going to try to coerce you down here, because this decision, this agreement between you and God needs to come from your heart. This is something that you need to know, that you need and want. And then that divine exchange will be made between you and God. But if this is what you want, God's spoken to you, I'm going to invite you to get out of your seats and come down to this front right here that we call an altar. And we'll sing a song through a few times, and I'll just have some prayer with you. Right now, if this is you, you come as we sing. Come to this altar.
Your blood, it speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me. It stands in my defense. Jesus is your blood.
Your blood.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me. It stands in my defense. Jesus is your blood.
As you come to an altar like this, it's not going to be just a prayer that you may repeat from me that's going to make the transition from death into life. No. It's the desire of your heart that you know that you are lost and that you want to give your life to God. It can't be just a simple prayer and you leave, because you'll end up hating Christianity if you don't see God change. But it's an individual work that God, for some of you, you might tonight start, and the agony of where you've been and where you've come from, God might just continue working in your heart. But that knowledge of assurance will come to you. He would never have drawn you to an altar like this if he didn't plan to finish what he has begun. Oh no. But you've got to understand tonight that if you know that you are going to a lost eternity and you want to give your heart, your life, with its problems, with its difficulties, with its sins, with everything that you've come from, you want to just give this to God. You want to give it to God and give your life to Him and say, God, I want you to live in me. From this day onwards, I'm not going to go back to the hellhole I come from. I'm going to go back with God. I'm going to open that book. I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to let people begin to just speak to me. And I find a place of worship. If that's in your heart tonight, then understand that this transaction that God is going to be working with you will take its course in your life to bring you to a place of belief. You give Him your life, and He will give you His life and bring you back into an environment where you can stand in God's presence and love Him. Amen. I want you to pray this prayer knowing that this is the beginning of the work of God in your heart and life. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, with all my heart, I acknowledge I need you. The way I'm going is to death. I know it. I've been living it. And from my heart, I ask you to forgive me. Jesus, I'm finished with the past. I want to walk with you. Jesus, start the work now. I open my heart to you and receive you into my life. I believe that you have come into me. Lord Jesus, lead me in the way everlasting. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Now, let me just give you some advice. Some of you, I see the tears, and some of you are still working through some things in your life. And we don't want to shorten the process of these tears and what you're going through. And so I see these things that you're going through. Many of your tears at this altar. We have, through exit one, if you go downstairs, we have men and women who are waiting there who will just talk with you. If you want to just sit and just pray and just talk to God now that you've asked Him to forgive you, just start talking to Him. You're free to go down there. If you don't have a Bible, they'll put a Gospel of John in your hand. And if you need prayer, you can just slip your hand up and someone will come and just pray with you and just lead you to this walk with Jesus Christ from death into life. Amen? Praise God. Now, folks, let's give God thanks for the work that He's done tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let God continue to work in your life. Now, Father, I thank you for what you have begun tonight. You will continue it in each of their lives. You give them the knowledge. You give them the knowledge, Lord, as only you can. We cannot do it from a human point of view. We can't speak to people and let them know that they changed. You do that by your Holy Spirit. Now, God, thank you that you will give them the assurance today, tomorrow, the next day, whatever you want. Thank you for what you've begun tonight. We know that you will perform it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.